Hi everybody, and welcome to the ASP Net Monsters. This is episode number 35, and today we're going to take the tag helpers that you have seen previously, the caching tag helper to be specific, and we're going to take a look at the distributed version of that tag the tag helper. So take it away, Dave.
Yeah, I'm super excited. RC2 is out, and they kind of snuck in this new tag helper and didn't really... Well, it was in the announcements, but if you weren't reading the announcements closely, you might have missed it. There's a new distributed cache tag helper that's part of this RC2 build. So what happened is they built this cache tag helper, if you remember, we talked about it back in episode 21, where it'll just cache any HTML fragment from your that is output from your Razor file, take that and store it in an in-memory cache locally in the web server process. Every time they went out to demo that, apparently the follow-up question was always, that's really cool and useful. Is there a way that I can configure that to store it in like a Redis distributed cache if I have a server farm? Or just even in a single process, single server situation, just so that it can survive a server restart so I don't have to go and recreate all those cached items. So rather than change the cache tag helper because it has a dependency on iMemory cache, rather than add a new dependency to also need the iDistributed cache, they just created a new cache tag helper. And they kind of behave differently, so it's not that big a deal. You just have to make a choice when you're caching something. Do I want to use just an in-memory cache here? Do I want this to be a distributed thing? So I just have a very simple page here from a file on my about CSHTML in a file new project with two different cache tag helpers. I have at the bottom the cache tag helper that we talked about previously, where we're going to take the contents here and store them in the in-memory cache for an hour, so it'll expire after an hour. And then I'm doing the same thing with the distributed cache, expiring it after an hour, but I'm going to store this in the distributed cache instead. And we have to specify a name here, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But first, let's just try running this and see what the output looks like.
So while that's starting up, what sort of things would you put in the cache?
The things that you would like to cache.
Okay, so I'm running like a standard web page here, and things are getting a little bit heavy. So what sort of stuff would you recommend that I start doing caching on?
I guess anything that takes a long time to generate, right? So you can start with maybe just caching the data in the back end and then still have Razor go through and regenerate those pages with every request. But if you're looking to squeeze even a little bit more performance out of some pages, that might be a good place to do it. It's a little bit simpler, I think, sometimes than to do this level of caching rather than complicating your data access layer and adding caching there. So even something like a little what's new section on your homepage that you know doesn't update very often, that might be something that you could cache. And it would just kind of relieve some pressure off of your back-end services.
A thing like today's schedule is something that you could expire absolute at midnight, and it's, you know, if that's something that's static and it doesn't change or whatever the case may be, that's a pretty good candidate probably for caching that fragment out rather than regenerating it every time someone hits the page.
So here's the app, and I go to the About page. And you can see that here we have our two fragments are stored in the distributed cache. We have a timestamp of when that happened, and then stored in a memory cache and the timestamp of when that happened. They're the same because the page request came in at the same time. Now I'm going to close this to kill the process here, and I'll restart my server.
So I saw 8:42 there. You're restarting your server. Has the cache? We haven't changed anything, any properties of the cache. So I should be able to expect to see the same 8:42 timestamp.
That's right, for the distributed cache. And then because we restarted our process, we would expect that memory cache would need to be rebuilt.
Right.
While we're waiting for that to start, I'll show you. So I configured the distributed cache here to use SQL Server. The SQL Server cache. There's two implementations of distributed cache that ship with ASP.NET Core. There's a Redis cache and there's a SQL Server cache. Mm-hmm. So I configured the SQL Server one. I had to create a database. I just called it distributed cache test. And then you need to create this table. You get to choose what you name it, but it needs to have these columns.
And there's a script to do that, which I'll have a link to a blog post that kind of outlines all of that. When I select star from my app cache, you can see here we have the ID, the value. We have when it expires. So I had set expire in an hour, so there's the timestamp in UTC time, I guess, of when that should expire. So that's the value that will get populated in it will grab from the distributed cache.
So that's just serialized to some
sort of... Yeah, so it's not human readable, which is...
B64-y thing.
Unfortunate. Yeah, the idea is actually they're using... It's encoded using a hash, so it's not just a base64. Like it's they're using.
Oh, the ID is a hash. Yeah, is what you're saying. Okay, not the value. Okay.
And the value is just UTF-8 encoded.
Oh, okay.
Sort of
just a byte array. Okay.
Yeah. And now when we go back, we should see that original timestamp for the distributed item. It is 8:42, but the one that's stored in memory cache, it had to go and regenerate. So now I can refresh this. Those values won't change now because it's the memory cache is still there and available
as long as the app is still running. Right.
Yep.
Right. So one thing that's probably important to note, though, is that this is a distributed cache. So if you had a separate web server instance up and running and it was connected to the same SQL instance, then it would get that same distributed cache value. But the memory cache would be different. The memory cache would be for that process proper. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they do behave very differently in the end, depending which one you pick. I'll just quickly go over how I configured the distributed cache, just so you can see how that works. All I did was in my configure services method here in startup, I did add singleton, I distributed cache, and then I configured a new SQL Server cache and gave it the options. That's where I specify the database that I'm connecting to and the table that will contain my cache. So that's all there was to configure this. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're going to want to extract this into configuration and wire up the right things depending on your environments, but just for demonstration purposes, that's how you configure your SQL Server cache.
We had an episode on user secrets. It's a good place to put it, and then you can just throw it into environment variables so it can be read out if you deploy to Azure or an app server.
What's cool is that, or maybe unexpected, is that this actually works even if I don't configure an iDistributed cache. So I can comment this out, and on a developer machine, I could run this and use the distributed cache tag helper, and it still works. Everything works, but it's not distributed. It just what they do by default is just use an in-memory cache, which is actually pretty handy for a developer because then I don't have to go and create a database or stand up a local Redis instance. I can still test my application as though a distributed cache was there, and it's just going to store it in memory.
So we could actually wrap that then with an if is in production kind
correct
of thing.
Yeah.
Then we actually set up the SQL Server cache.
Yep. But I wanted to go back and talk about this name thing because that's actually, it turns out, pretty important. Let's imagine that I'm going to get rid of this in-memory one here, and I'm just going to create a second one that says this should be different. And I could do, with the in-memory cache, I can just put the cache tag helper anywhere, and it always works the way you would expect it to. It's a different cache instance depending on where it is in the Razor page. But when I use the same name here, even though I have different contents, if I go and refresh my page, I actually end up with the same results. Okay. So that name, it's being used as the prefix for the cache key that it uses to go and actually store this in the distributed cache and retrieve it. So those names need to be unique unless you actually intend it to use the same thing, which probably isn't what you intend most of the time. So do watch out, those names need to be unique. What happens when you use the regular cache tag helper is it generates a unique ID for you, and that's just a feature of Razor that it's able to do that. But with a distributed cache, they can't do that because on different servers, it would generate different unique IDs. And
so
then
you have to explicitly
be a distributed cache anymore. They would be hitting different instances in the cache.
It'd be a
centralized cache.
Distributed. Yeah.
Yeah, so it just wouldn't work. And
So you do need to specify that name on your own to give it the uniqueness for that specific instance of the distributed cache.
So this iDistributed cache interface, does it have methods on it that I can use for cache invalidation?
I believe it does, yes. Okay.
It allows you to delete, and you can set and get, but the default implementation doesn't let you do things that are provider-specific, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So, for example, if I was working with a Redis cache, I couldn't flush all the values out of it. I'd have to use a library that was aware of Redis in particular.
That seems like it would be problematic then, because how would I know what the cache key was that was generated?
Yeah, especially since it's hashed. Actually read it.
Yeah. So then, but if you can delete stuff using the iDistributed cache interface, that's kind of sufficient for my needs, I assume.
Right. There's probably still some gaps that you would need to address individually. But I think that if you were aware of the keys, if you were maintaining a list of keys that you were actually using inside the cache, then you'd be able to iterate over them and flush, like, blow them out if you needed to.
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking, like, individual things. Like, if I'm using some sort of message-based architecture and I get a message that comes in that says, hey, user list has changed, then I want to know that I can go and I can hit that user list and I can invalidate that cache item right away instead of waiting for whatever its expiry is to expire.
Right.
there are a couple other customizations that you can do here that I suspect most people aren't going to need to go down to this level. But so if you do need a little more control over how the items are formatted and how they're serialized, or how specifically the tag helper, the distributed cache tag helper, stores things, you can specify your own implementations for things like the distributed cache tag helper formatter, or distributed cache tag helper storage, or you might go as far as just implement your whole entire service here that does the whole thing for you. So lots of entry points there to configure it specifically for your use case. I suspect in general the base use case will work for most people, although as you said, I think that invalidation is probably going to be the place that people get tripped up the most.
Great. So it is nice and open, and I can go and implement my own Microsoft Jet distributed.
Absolutely.
Handler. Okay.
If you have no respect, have by all means.
I'm looking forward to the access distributed cache.
Well, that's what Jet is. I don't see why we wouldn't have that. Access is sufficient for almost all needs. Okay, great. Well, unless there's anything else.
No, that's it.
Great. Thanks, everybody, for coming out and listening to episode number 35 of the ASP.NET Monsters, and we'll see you all next time.
Cheers.
Bye.